Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Vertical Shift Podcast. I am Tommy.
And I'm Jeff.
And we are in the studio. We're so glad that you are joining us, listening in. It's fun. This is fun.
And, you know, it's fun to get you guys to hear from you, get your feedback, and see what you're thinking. So we would honestly love, and this is kind of what we're needing, to be honest. What are some topics you'd like to hear us discuss and cover and address? And so if you wouldn't mind, send us an email to,
that would be we'll start at vertical.shift.podcast@gmail.com.
There it is.
And if we had a few more letters, we'd get every one of the alphabet in there.
Yeah, vertical.shift.podcast@gmail.com.
You know, when you go to Gmail, it's like everything's taken.
That's true.
I mean, I could have been vspodcast549298.
That's true.
At Gmail, but I'm not.
Thank you.
We're not. So
I appreciate it.
So vertical.shift.podcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, send us your ideas of topics of things, maybe questions you have or something you would like for us to tackle. So that would kind of give us some ideas and how to plan those. We want to hear from you. And then also, we're going to bring in some special guests here. We're organizing that now after our break. So we're excited about some of the guests that we have in mind to bring on.
Well, we've got to bring in guests because Justin's on vacation all the time.
True. That's true.
I mean,
you know, no, he's not. He's been super busy. Yeah. And so he'll be back with us soon. And we're looking forward to that. But
need his wisdom.
So Tommy, what did you do this weekend, man? Tell us about it.
Yeah, so this weekend was family day at the college my son goes to. And so it's about 3 hours away from where we are.
Please tell me you got like out of the car and did big straight arm wave. Hey, son, I'm over here. You didn't do anything like that to embarrass him?
No, because it didn't really work that way.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So because we got in the evening time, so we went and checked in our hotel.
Gotcha.
And then we met them for dinner. You know, here's the thing. College students, mm-hmm. in general, well, let me just say, my son
mm-hmm.
is like broke all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, broke.
Yeah.
But he eats so good.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, how's that happen?
Oh, dude. Jace ended up getting like a $300 meal plan for just, and you know, and he's not even living on campus, but I mean, he's got $100 left and it's been a month.
Mason had, now I think I paid $900 for his meal plan.
Mm.
He's got $200 left.
Oh,
he's
wow.
been in school 1 month.
What?
Now he did say there's, think about that. He's been in school 30 days. He's got $200 left. Now, but what I'm told is it's different things. So
he's got a lot of friends.
No, he has
on me.
He has this account with money, but then he has so many swipes of a card.
Right.
So then I heard, oh, well, he's got 200 swipes left. I'm just like,
what does that mean?
I don't even know what it means. I just, you're going to be eating like cold hot dogs.
Yeah.
And baked beans.
Mm-hmm.
But no, he's not, because when we come in town,
right,
we take him out to eat to all the places. He don't get to go out to eat when we're not there. So we right. did take him to yeah. some places. He's like, man, anywhere but the cafeteria food would be good. Yeah. So we went out and ate sushi. We went out and ate steak.
Man.
We went out and they had a whole a picnic for the family.
Okay.
So they grilled out burgers and stuff like that.
That's cool.
It was a lot of fun. It was really fun to see him and, you know, around guys coming up, give him, you know, yeah. a handshake or whatever, yeah, and he's yeah. making friends.
Yeah,
and
that's cool.
So that was really good to see. We had my parents came, Christine's parents came, her dad and yeah. her mom.
Yeah.
They all came and stayed. So it was good to have the family there.
Yeah.
To be with him and see everything. We went up and, you know, into his yeah. dorm and got to see it. And that's pretty pretty interesting there because.
Has he washed his sheets since he's been there?
Yeah. Well, okay. I don't know if he's washed his sheets. He's always been good about laundry.
Yeah, yeah.
Both of our kids early on, Christine really did a great job of teaching them how to do laundry.
Mm-hmm.
My mom, on the other hand, didn't teach me how to do laundry.
Yeah, mine either.
So I still reliant on other people or.
Hey, son, get in here and wash my clothes.
Yeah. I can wash them. It's just putting them up. Anyway. But it was fun to see. So his dorm, he was supposed to have a roommate. Well, the roommate never came. Mm. But he's not allowed to mess with that side of the room because when they come and do room inspection, if they see he's using like both sides, then it's not like move-in ready. And then they charge him double. Well, they don't charge him anything, but charge me.
Yeah.
Huh. So I made sure, Mason, don't touch nothing over there.
No, it's funny you said that, you know, you wash and dry the clothes and fold them. You just don't put them away. And so that's been the discussion in our house. My wife is very, you know, organized and does all of that stuff. But then it sits in a chair or on our bed, you know, and I'm like, what's wrong with that next step? I've asked her, like, why can't we just, everybody, just put their own stuff up? So it just seems like it's opposite of who you are. She's like, well, here's the breakdown. So I do all of that. I got it folded. But when I open the drawers, they're all messy. So in order to put folded clothes in, I have to fold all the clothes that are now in the drawer that are messy. And I don't have time to do that. So I just leave it on the bed until I have time to do it. And I was like, oh. I just put them right on top of them.
Well, so for me, I just put all my clean clothes in a basket and they just sit in a basket and I move the basket. Like, and Christine's be like, are you seriously still moving that basket? I'll just move the basket around like where I'm at. Basically, I'll put it on the bed so I can sift through it. Then I put it on the floor in my closet. And I put it on the bed. So,
well, we kind of had to change some stuff because I told my kids, I was like, we're not going to have any standard that we're going to hold you to that we're not doing ourselves. So we were like, all right, we got to start putting our clothes away too. So,
well, they put their clothes away. I don't put mine away.
No, mine don't.
I mean, they're good at it. You know, it's if there is one success in life that I feel really good about that I had nothing to do with. So let me just preface it.
Good job, Christine.
She has really instilled in them work ethic and just taking care of their own stuff.
Yeah.
And so that's been really good to see both of them excel in that. What'd you do this week? So we had Fort Tipton Day.
So we had Fort Tipton Day. And for those of you listening, have no idea what that is.
Or where it is. So it probably doesn't matter.
Yeah. We go out.
We who?
We, our church, go out twice a year into our community. We shut down regular services on Sunday. And I get the awesome opportunity to put projects together to go out. And so we have all of our people come. We have like a worship set. And then kind of a, why are we doing this message real quick? And then we divvy up into groups and we send people out. So kids are involved with their parents and we're helping all different kind of ministries up and go and landscaping. And we had a great conversation as we canvassed neighborhoods today for our new church plant. So we did all of that. And then we had a church picnic afterwards, which was really fun. So we had barbecue and all of that. So everybody came back together after doing all the projects. We had some inflatables in the back and a water slide and that kind of thing. And so everybody got to hang out, just really spend time with each other. So that was really sweet. And one of the cool things that we did this year was we had an outreach to a local elementary school that we're going to focus on this year solely. And I had a couple of ladies volunteer to bake muffins yesterday. And so those were baked. And so today the kids get to put on gloves and put the muffins in a Ziploc bag with a message that, you know, a little, there's muffin better than a great teacher like you, you know, that kind of thing. So they put those in little bags. And so they'll have that and a drink this week that they're going to get from the kids. And then had the older kids write cards to a family in our church that's going through a really difficult time. And they're kind of separated. Because the mom is taking care of the son and the dad is here taking care of the other two kids. And and so it's going to be a long haul of recovery for this older son. And so they did that. And then when they were done, we all loaded up parents and children and we went to the local elementary school and I had kind of mapped out a prayer walking guide of what to pray for at each station around the school.
Nice.
So the school let us do that. And so it was, so sweet to hear these kids pray.
Yeah.
Oh man, I'm talking like first graders. Like it was really, really sweet. So that was a lot of fun to watch our kids kind of learn how to do that. You know, like, hey, I can pray. And I just reminded them, you know, hey, our battle, we don't get to see with our physical eyes. The real battle spiritual. Mm-hmm. And this is, we're being a part of the spiritual battle right now. You know,
what we see is simply the evidence, but it's the side effect of the spiritual battle, right? It's manifested.
Whether we're prepared or not.
Right.
Yeah.
But it manifests, that spiritual battle will manifest itself into something that we can see and feel. And all too often, though, because we're visual people, mm-hmm. we assume, oh, well, that's the enemy.
Right.
Because of that, that person is my enemy now, or that thing is. Mm-hmm.
But if I could just get rid of that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It doesn't work that way.
No. Yeah.
And I tell you, Jeff, the more and more that I pursue the Lord and read scripture, the more and more that becomes evident.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I heard someone say one time, it's hard to hate somebody you pray for.
Yeah. That's true. It's really true.
And when you start praying for people, you really start to see the difference between a person and a person who is being influenced by evil.
Yeah.
You can separate those two.
Yeah.
And you can love that person because they are made in the image of God. And how many times do we forget that too?
Yeah.
I forget it all the time when I'm looking at someone, judging them, in my own mind, like, oh, look at them.
Yeah.
You know, or, you know,
it's easy to lose sight.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And we forget, though, that is the same human being that was created by God, that was formed and knitted in the womb.
Yeah.
And in his image.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's something that I've gotten more aware of, though.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and that's what I tried to remind the kids today. I was like, listen, your part today of a spiritual battle of God changing the hearts of people. And that's the job only he can do, you know, and we're praying for the staff and the teachers and the kids and the parents that walk through this, that they feel the love of Jesus the moment they walk in into a secular setting, mm-hmm. you know, that they experience something different. And just having the kids pray for protection and against all the crazy that can happen and all that. And so it was really, really sweet. And so I thought that was pretty cool. And so anyway, so we had all of that. And then a really, really fun part of today was second son, Titus, has been looking for a new vehicle. So we bought a car. Golly, what is it? 3 years ago now that I had my dad check out. I saw it on Facebook. I've been looking for months for a vehicle, and we found a little Honda Civic, and it was in the price range that we could afford, but it was in a different state where my parents live. And I'm like, hey, Dad, this isn't far from you. Go check it out. And he's like, okay. He loves little projects like mm-hmm. that, and he's always helped me. So I was like, this will be great. So just go check the car out. If it's good, I need to get it. Like, I need to find something for him, and this fits our price range and all this stuff. So anyway, so he went and checked it out, and he was like, I mean, it's an older vehicle with low miles. He's like, it's like brand new. I was like, great.
You're buying it, though, for your older son?
For my older son. Yeah.
About 3 years ago.
Yeah. And so they get it. They drive it up here, and we're so excited and, like, get in it. And I'm like, what's that smell? Why does it smell like this car's been underwater? Like, it was just sour, mildewy. Ooh. And then.
What was it?
It had leaks, like like the rubber on top, you know, over the, like, it would leak in, and when it rained.
Your dad didn't smell none of that?
Apparently he has lost the ability to smell or see, because it was mildew on the seatbelts, you know. You're like, Dad, how is this brand new? The, like, floorboard is wet. I'm like, your feet didn't slip driving it up here. But
well, hey, send your dad over. I've got some stuff I need to sell you.
That was pretty good. The engine is cracked.
No.
The AC doesn't work. The speedometer doesn't work.
But that's everybody's first car. Look.
I know. So it's worked out great. That's
everybody's first car.
It's worked out great. So if your kids aren't old enough yet, do this. A piece of junk. And so anyway, they've driven in it. We've titled it now the Learner Lemon.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. So this is your first attempt at driving. You go off the road, you bump into something, whatever. You know what? That's fine. You know? And so my oldest drove it for a year and we felt terrible because we like bought it without talking to him about it and used his money like that he had saved up for a car for this car because we thought it was a good deal. And then it turned out to be terrible. So we felt bad about it. So after about a year, and he never complained, I would have been at his age and I spent my money, I would have been upset. Mm-hmm. You know, like I didn't pick this car out and it smells like mildew. It's gross. Anyway, so we found this car. We went, he loved it. So he's had a new car for about a year now. And when I say new to him car. And so he's so happy. So well, my second son turned 16. He got the Learner Lemon. Mm-hmm. And so he's been driving it, and it doesn't have any AC.
Well, just keep it, though, for your daughter.
No. So anyway, I mean, he's like, Dad, I think I'm ready. He worked all summer in Minnesota, like we mentioned, and saved money. So he had enough money to get something different. And so I found this car online, talked to the guy, felt really, really good about it. And so I wanted to jump on it. So I left from doing all of those projects today. No, I didn't even tell him about it yet. And so we had to drive an hour to the car, and man, it is so nice. And he's so excited. I mean, you could not wipe the smile off of his face all the way back. So, I mean, and he's not my super lovey-dovey kid either. You know, he's kind of like fist bump, whatever. They give me a full bear hug, and he's just so excited.
I tell you, I do like him playing pickleball with us.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
It has been.
Yeah, and so... Anyway, so that happened today, and I mean, he's just showing everybody.
Did you spend his money on this?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Now, he owes us just a little bit, but yeah, it's totally doable.
That's good.
So he's super excited.
So you just got to be careful how you talk about the Learner Lemon. Why? Because if you're not going to keep it, you're going to sell it. People listen to this podcast right now.
Hey, it's a Learner Lemon. You need a Learner Lemon,
but it's top dollar,
let me know.
Top dollar Learner Lemon. I mean, all the stuff that he said, he's fixed. Maybe not the engine. You cleaned it, right?
It's clean. It still has a little mildew smell. But here's the thing. The car runs great. Get you from point A to point B.
You'll be sweating to death
by the time you get there, but it works great.
Did you fix the leak? No, the engine.
No. It hasn't rained in like 3 months.
No, the engine cracked.
I don't know how to do that.
Well, the air conditioner,
this is all it does. It just burns through the water in the radiator. So you just make sure that it's full and you're good to go. So, I mean,
it like hydrolocks. I mean, there's that.
So, anyway.
Anyway.
We did all of that.
You might be keeping that car longer than you think.
So, full disclosure, it's a Learner Lemon. If you need a Learner Lemon that gets good gas mileage,
email vertical.shift.podcast@gmail.com.
Please let me know. We need to sell it quick.
How much are you going to sell it for?
$8 million.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we got to do that. And man, it was so sweet, Tommy. It's just really fun. And he's just so driven and so excited about it, you know, taking care of it. Wow. And I told him he was our kid that would, you know, sit in the back of our nice vehicle and have chicken nuggets from McDonald's and open up barbecue packets and leave it in the little cup holder for a week. You know, we get back there. I was like,
Now you get to do it.
Yeah, Mom and I are riding in the back of your car. Oh, my bad.
Oh, let me wipe my hands in your seat.
Exactly.
So, well, you only got two down, three to go.
Two down, three to go. That's it.
Wow.
Yeah.
I've got one down, one to go.
I mean, down? I wouldn't consider them down yet.
But they have cars.
Oh, two. Yeah.
You got three more cars you got to buy. Brother.
Yeah.
Because the twins ain't going to share no car.
So here's a fun fact.
Twins ain't going to share no car.
You don't have to do what we did. I'm just telling you what we did. It worked out in our favor.
What'd you do? Right?
So when our kids turned 16... I told them that that's their big birthday. We will give them $1,600 for their birthday. That's towards a car, right? Now, if they can come up with their own $1,600 before their 16th birthday, they work, they save, do all the things, then we'll give an additional $1,600. right?
So they're buying Learner Lemons. I mean, that is the Learner Lemon price range.
Hey, right there. I had to learn from the Learner Lemon of what to do, what not to do. Always take the new used car that you purchased to your mechanic to get double checked. Anyway, but that gave them some work ethic, gave them some buy-in, a little motivation. Ours struggled with work ethic and you know, that kind of thing. So it worked.
Let me ask you this, Joe.
Yeah.
Is there anything you can think back on, like in your as a parent, that you regret doing that you didn't do so well?
That takes multiple podcasts.
I'm not asking for. I'm just saying it's just yes or no.
Of course.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So you know, like Mason has almost a brand new truck. You know, yeah. So we didn't do. Yeah. I'm trying to think. His first vehicle, though, I don't think I'd consider. Learner Lemon.
No.
It was nice. Yeah. But it was inexpensive.
But we're not on the same caliber as the Duke family.
I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about, my wife, she had a beater. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was like a Dodge Dynasty.
Yeah.
I think you pronounce it Dynasty, but she called it like Dynasty. And, she was like a, she could tell stories about it. So our kids need that. They need to experience that.
I agree. Makes you appreciate it when you get it.
See? But my son didn't.
Marley, I've got a Learner Lemon. You just let me know. Marley can get the Learner
Lemon. She turns 15. She's about to get her permit. And I told her, I've been sending her a picture. Like,
dude, we could play a prank on her. So maybe I got you.
We could. But listen, I send her pictures of station wagons with the wood on the side. Uh-huh. Be like, hey, you like this one? She's like, bruh.
Dad, come on. For real?
No, yeah. Quit playing.
Yeah.
I found this one. It was like a little miniature truck. It was so tiny. It was so funny. I'm like, it's right here. She's like, she gets mad at me.
Stop it, Dad.
Yeah, she gets so upset. But those are all fun, you know, kind of fun things. Yeah, but, you know, what about, you know.
I mean, I think about my first car. I had a little Honda Accord. I mean, I loved it. But it had the headlights that popped up, you know.
Please tell me only one came up.
No, both came up, but one was loose. So if you were on the interstate, the wind would catch it and it would come up a little. So you would blind everybody. I had people slam on brakes. They were so mad. Your brights are on. Like, I can't help it. So
it's like a car with one bad eye.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, goodness. It was funny. But yeah. So anyway, those things were super fun. And, it was just fun to do that with Titus today. And I feel like, you know, we have five kiddos and, you know, I'm sure from time to time our kids, you know, you emphasize one over the other because of life situations and one's going off to college and it's a big deal and you're getting them set up. And then, you know, it's fun to have moments one-on-one to just to remind them that, man, just how much you love them and how special they are to you. So it was really sweet today, man. It really meant a lot to me to see his reaction like that. It was really fun. So
yeah, that's good.
Anyway, well, I wanted to talk tonight about kind of what we discussed in group. We're kind of going and doing an Old Testament right now overview and just kind of a 30,000 foot view to put the pieces together, to have a time frame, a chronology of the events and what's happening and why, and helps the books make sense and that kind of thing. And so today we're just in our second lesson, so we're finishing up Genesis, and it's just so powerful to kind of just revisit the story of Joseph, you know, and kind of seeing all that happened to him. And you know, in the study, it just refers to Joseph as a Christ type, and his experience and how he handled situations really resembled Christ, right? And so loved by his father, hated by his brothers, sold into slavery, sent off. And while he's there, you know, as a slave, just really kind of rises in favor there to Potiphar. And then his wife tries to seduce him and he does the right thing. And so she falsely accuses him and sends him to prison. But even while he's in prison, right, he's obedient. His character doesn't change. He's not bitter at God. He still lives by the same standard. And so he rises in rank among the prisoners there, and you know, he has an opportunity to interpret dreams that God's given him the ability to do for two other prisoners, and they came to fruition, and the guy said, "Oh man, I'm going to remember you." You know, and
we talked a little bit about that before, I think.
Yeah,
it was like, but he forgot. He was like, oh, yeah, 2 years later.
I was just so excited to have my job back.
It came back to me 2 years later.
Yeah.
Man, that 2 years is a long time.
When Pharaoh had a dream, and so he's like, oh, yeah, there was this guy. Could do this. I was supposed to tell you about him.
But to digress for 1 minute, not even a minute, but the 2 years still was, there was a reason.
Yeah.
Because Joseph still was in the prison working, ministering to guards.
Yeah. It's
crazy.
Yeah. God's timing and planning is everything. And
yeah.
And so anyway, he comes out of that, interprets the dream. And then, I mean, it just talked about the authority he had, that wherever he went, people had to bow the knee to him, and, you know, nothing could happen without his permission kind of thing. And so it was neat to see the roller coaster ride of his life. But his character was consistent. You know, a lot of times we can trace our highs and our failures based off of our obedience to God, right? And we're just kind of up high and we're doing a good, and then we forget and we go down. You know, you kind of see that with the Israelites over the years. But in Joseph's life, it seems like, anyway, at least the narrative that we're told, it seems like his character is consistent in his love for God. But his situations change, not of his fault, right? He does the right thing. He's falsely accused. He's in prison. He comes out. He's forgotten about. But he still stays faithful, and his character never wavers. And yet the Lord blesses it in the end. But, I mean, from the time he was sold into slavery around 17 years old till the time that he is, like, second in command, he's 30. So 13 years of that. And never wavered. And then it kind of all comes to like a culmination when his brothers come, right, to Egypt to get food because there's a famine and, you know, they're all starving. And so he had the opportunity and the authority and the, you know, reason to do whatever he wanted to his brothers and just be done with them. But just like Christ, right, because he's a Christ type, you know, you think of Jesus on the cross, and he looked down and he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And he looked at his brothers and he said, "Hey, what you meant for evil, God meant for good." You know, and forgave them, embraced them, and brought them in. And
I'm going to read this real quick.
Yeah.
"So for these 2 years, the famine has been in the land, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. And God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you who sent me here, but God, and he has made me a father to Pharaoh and the lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt."
Yeah.
You know, and here's the thing. Who was he and his brothers?
Right.
I mean, who are they? They're the sons of Jacob.
Right.
Who become
Israel.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
The 12 tribes of Israel.
Right.
Right there. What lineage does that carry through to?
Right.
Who, you know, the lifeline, the lifeblood of the, you know, the lineage of Jesus.
Right.
And so here again, it's another protection that's all pointing to preserving that.
Mm-hmm.
Path to Jesus.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And I, you know, I'm just reminded through all of it, you know, and I think the thing, Tommy, that kind of just rings in my thoughts now, is that consistency over time, the right investments over time, and seeing the fruits of that. And, you know, I was telling the kids in children's worship one Sunday, I was like, if you plant a seed and you never water it, what's going to happen? They're like, it's going to die. It's never going to grow. I was like, right. I was like, what happens if you water it for a week? And they're like, well, you'll probably start to see it to grow a little bit. I said, and then you stop. I was like, well, it'll die. I was like, so it takes constant care, consistency. Let's say we plant that apple seed, or let's say in my case, a peach seed, because there's a story behind it.
Mm.
let's plant a peach seed. And all of a sudden you get a peach tree that's like 3 feet tall. Is it producing anything yet? Like, no, not 3 feet tall. Right. You still got to water it and take care of it. And so it takes several years for that to grow into a mature tree that will then produce peaches. I said, this year we did that. We planted 2 peach seeds and they grew, and now they're trees. And one of the trees is like flourishing. The other one's behind it a little bit. And it had probably 50 peaches on it this year. So excited. I looked out my kitchen window and squirrels ate all of my peaches.
Squirrels are demons.
I never felt
like you were connected to the peaches.
No, I've never felt like I understood my dad more. Because my dad will sit out in the backyard with a BB gun because he has pecan trees and he protects his pecans from the squirrels. And he's done it for years. And the stories are hilarious, things he's done. But his neck is so bad now with arthritis. Like he kind of looks down. He can't physically cannot bend his neck up. So he had to get a computer chair, kind of like the one I'm sitting in, so that he can lean back like this and look up into a tree and shoot squirrels out of the tree. But I mean, I looked at that. I said, Aaron, there are squirrels eating my peaches. And she was like, oh my goodness, Bobby. She's like, you've never been more like your dad than
right now.
It's
like that commercial. Yeah. You know, there's a commercial, the insurance, or don't become your parents.
Oh, 100%.
Dude.
And it's true, but it's one of those things I told the kids. I was like, listen, I did everything that you're supposed to do. Like, I watered it. I took care of it. It's grown. It matured. It produced fruit. I said, the enemy still wants to come and steal, kill, and destroy.
Squirrels.
Yeah.
Demons.
They are demons. But, you know,
it's a great parallel though to the same things that want to come and take your fruit.
Right. Yeah. And so just thinking about the spiritual aspects of things. So when you look at parenting, right, in particular, because I have that wide range and just looking at it, and there's, you know, I think every first time parent, you know, with your first child, you're really kind of over the top with them. You know, you want to do everything right. Like you boil the pacifier if they drop it. By the third one, you're like, wipe it off on your shirt. You're good.
We bought the bottled water for the first one, and the second one's getting water hose water.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. You'll be fine. And so there's that kind of thing. Like you really overthink everything and worry about everything. Am I doing it right? Are they developing right? Are they doing this? And you compare them to other kids and all that kind of stuff. And it's one of those things that, like, as you sit back over and just observe and you hold fast to the things that really matter in, you know, am I genuine in my faith or am I in speech only? Do I live it out in front of them? Do I apologize to them when I make mistakes? Am I leading by that type of example? And I'm staying consistent with that. I'm leading them in that. I'm sharing that. They're going with me. And just stay that course, no matter what the situation, circumstances, what I see around me, stay fixed on the mission, right? And just be patient to see it produce fruit. And man, it's so cool to see it, because my oldest, you know, is freshman in college, and just the friendship that we have now that's developed over those years. The confidence that he has to come and talk about anything and everything and to really want to glorify God with his life. It's just been really cool. And now starting to see that in my second oldest son and just the things that are developing in that. And, you know, we actually had somebody come up to us and just like, hey, you guys should consider doing a parenting class. And we're like, what? Why? And I'm like, well, look at your kids. And I'm like, that has nothing, truly nothing to do with us, right? I didn't make the peach tree in my backyard grow. I did what I was supposed to do, but God did all of that. And in the same way, like you do what God calls us to do as parents, but he's the one. And that's the part to remember is like, you know, my mom always told me that. She's just like, people would ask her, how do you have 2 sons that are in ministry? She's like, I mean, we're not in ministry. Like, I mean, we serve at our church, but it's not like we're on staff or anything like that. We just prayed for God to use them. And I prayed consistently for them over the years. And just to see that come to fruition, she's like, I didn't do anything. ask God to. And in the same way, stay inconsistent with that, asking God to bless them, protect them, use them, but you being that lead example of what that's supposed to look like.
Yeah, and you know, I do want to speak to the people who are listening who are trying to do that.
Yeah.
You know, they've been doing the very best they can.
Sure.
And, you know, maybe their kids aren't criminals, but maybe they're not. Let me just
pretty
say this.
Close. No,
let me just say this. Let's use my.
Yeah.
I'll talk about me.
Okay.
You know, both of my kids have been led to the Lord. I was able to baptize my daughter. My son was, you know, was baptized and, you know, saved and all that. But I will say that I don't, you know, they're not being called. I don't know yet that they're being called to the ministry. I don't see that yet. I don't,
sure.
You know, they don't talk about that quite as much. So I guess I'm just speaking about my situation and to other parents who might compare their kids to someone else whose kids are preaching the gospel at school and stuff. Yeah. So not everyone is going to see an immediate change or
that's the part I'm talking about.
That's right.
You can't
that's why I'm trying to make that clear.
Yeah, you can't flip the script and be like, oh, we should have done it this way or we messed up. And now you stay at the course of what you're supposed to do, and your kids are going to get to a place, and that's the scary part. You know, we've talked about this in previous episodes that when your kids become adults, like really, I mean, there's not much left that you can do, make them do, right? You're still their parent. You still love them. It's a different kind of role. You've got to let them go. You know, you've got to let them live their life in that sense. And you want to be as much a part of that as possible, as much as they'll let you. But there's some of it where you're like, you got it. Go do it, you know, kind of thing and figure it out. But I think that is one of the scary parts, but that's where you get to see everything that you've taught them, everything that you've invested, then becomes theirs, and that's the fun part.
It's if you've laid down the foundation and you've been consistent in your message and your teaching and your exampleship, and none of us are perfect.
Sure.
Again, we make mistakes.
Absolutely.
I've apologized to my kids before. Yeah. I've, you know, reacted too quickly or something. But I have to have faith that the Holy Spirit will convict them. Now, you know, my son is an adult. He's in school. I'm not there to watch over him. I have to trust now that, hey, the Holy Spirit, which is his job anyway.
Yeah.
It never was my job. But I have to trust that, hey, if he's going to be in gets in a situation and he starts feeling like, hey, this is probably not right, he's going to make the right decision.
Right.
You know, if he doesn't make the right decision, then he's going to have to face the consequence of that. We as parents don't want them to face those consequences. Yeah. It would hurt us to see them hurt.
Well, see, and that's it's conversations, and this is something that I took from my mom, and I think it's incredibly wise, so I want to pass it on to you. But she always said that she never, or she tried to take advantage of every opportunity to teach truth to me. So whether that was we saw something on a TV show, or we saw at a family reunion, like, oh, there's so-and-so, this is why we don't do that. You know,
well, y'all from Alabama, right?
Oh, shut it. You're so mean.
There's a lot of that.
Oh, whatever. Anyway, you made me lose my train of thought, Tommy.
Your mom.
Oh, you try to take advantage of every opportunity. And, you know, I was talking to Titus, and, you know, He has the wonderful gift of knowing what your button is and pushing it.
His nickname was Nat or something.
Yes. And so he's really come out of that a lot, but every now and then it kind of rears its ugly head. And I just told him, I said, if I've learned anything, and even the things that I'm reading, it's actually going to be in my message this coming Sunday, is as soon as the thought enters your mind, that's sinful.
You have to dismiss it.
Confess it. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to go there. Forgive
take
me.
Take it
move
from
on.
It, Lord.
Right.
Capture that. Yeah, take it and move it out.
But like with your sister, if you did something and you truly didn't mean to do it, I'm so sorry. Are you okay? You know, just end it. Nip it in the bud. Instead of getting mad and then doing something else.
Yeah.
And then it causes this. And then it goes there. And then it just snowballs out of control. I was like, just listen, learn from this situation. I'm trying to teach you how to have a walk with the Lord. Be quick to ask for forgiveness. Be quick to repent. Don't keep going down justifying. As soon as you experience it and you feel that check in your spirit, confess it. Again, I'm sorry.
Those are the evil influences around us that want to invade our mind with those thoughts, with those distractions, with those. Again, this goes back to that whole what the real battle is.
Right.
And as soon as we start making little bitty concessions and little contradictions here and there, can lead to bigger and bigger gaps of where we should be versus where we are.
Yeah.
What about, Jeff, what about the parents who haven't done that? Who haven't, maybe the parents are believers late in life and their kids are older. It's not too late, though.
No, it's never too late.
Different.
It's going to be different. Every situation is different. So please hear us in this. One thing that's never too late, it's never too late to apologize.
Right.
But, you know, and I think we've mentioned this before in the past too. Don't apologize and then continue to do the same thing. Like, there's nothing more defeating than that. Don't come in with all these promises. Oh, I'm going to be different. You know, I was a terrible dad, but I'm going to be a great grandfather or whatever it is, right? Unless you truly have been changed and you're going to do these things, because the last thing you want to do is have another empty promise that you're not going to fulfill, right? So I think going and apologizing, listening, how have I hurt you? What can I do differently now? I know I can't go back and change things, but I want to do things differently. You know, just being willing to humble yourself, ask for forgiveness, change, right? Repent, turn from those things, and then find a new normal. Like, right. So if your child is an adult and you feel like you've missed it, well, go to them and now you have an opportunity to have a different type of relationship anyway. This is what God's doing in my life. And try to build that friendship and relationship that way.
Yep. Because I was going to say too, it doesn't have to be that there's something that you've done wrong. It could just be that you weren't a believer and you,
absolutely,
you and your family lived a very, you know, worldly kind of life, just didn't have Jesus, you know, in mind. I mean, have to do
there's
bad things.
True.
I mean,
there's so many friends of mine that had horrible examples as parents, right? So they became parents and they're like, I don't know what I'm doing. I especially don't know how to be a believing parent. So what am I supposed to do? You know, how do we learn this? And, you know, and man, please hear me when I say this. Number one, go to the Word. You have the Holy Spirit that teaches you, but go find somebody that's ahead of you that's doing it right, you know, that you see the fruit of their labor and just say, hey, what did you do? What are some guidelines that you have for me? Not that they're perfect, but man, I did that and I had great parents, but my dad, you know, he didn't teach me those important spiritual things. And I wanted to know how to do that with my kids. I wanted to have conversations about anything and everything with my kids because I didn't have that. And so I would go to people like Steve, for example, our lead pastor, and be like, hey, how did you handle this with your kids? How did you have this conversation with them? This is where I'm at and this is what I'm thinking. Am I on the right track? Right. And so have those conversations with people that have done it.
And there's that right there is a trait of a man. If you want to know the definition of a man, it's someone who takes responsibility and takes ownership and takes accountability for leading their family to the Lord.
Right.
That is the true definition of a man.
Yeah.
And when you don't, when you're not equipped, you raise your hand and you say, this is the desire of my heart. I want to lead my family in a way that they've never seen me lead before.
Right.
I want to be the...
But listen, please hear me when I say that. Lead by example first. Put it into practice first. Just because you get the idea and you want things to be different and you say it, but then nothing changes, it ruins the hope and trust that your kids will have in you. Start living it out first and then let them notice. You know, they'll see the change. They'll see you bearing the fruits of the Spirit. You're much more patient. You're much more calm. You're listening. You're you're just living differently, and they will notice that. And then you can have the conversation. A lot of times, you know, it's, for example, one man that I met here recently was a drug addict, alcoholic for 28 years of his adult life. And, you know, he was sharing a story with me, and he's terrible dad to his kids, you know, just neglected them and did all of this. And, you know, now he's met the Lord, like completely transformed. He's been a believer for about 4 years now, my age, right? So 46. And he wants to have a relationship with his kids. You don't just have that overnight. And if you have somebody that's made empty promises their whole lives, they're just waiting for another one. So it's going to take some time for him. I said, it took you 28 years of doing it wrong. Just think of now you've got 4 years in of doing it right. So if you're weighing the scales of that, right, they have that much life experience of distrust in you. It's going to take them some time. They might say, Dad, I forgive you. That's great. But they're thinking and feeling inside, I still don't trust you yet. And that's okay. Keep living it out and let them see it. Build that trust by putting into action what you want them to then place their faith and trust in.
Yeah, and that's the point I was trying to make, is that you've got to humble yourself and ask for help.
Yeah.
You can't do it on your own.
No. I didn't do it on my own.
So if you find a church, that, A, number one, preaches the Bible.
Yeah.
Period. Full stop.
Yeah.
If they don't, go to another church.
Right.
Find a church that preaches the Bible and talk to them. Tell them that you need help. You want to do this. You want to do this different. You need a spiritual guide. You need someone that's going to stand beside you. Start praying for these things. But it takes the step. You've got to make the step. But that's what makes a man, though.
Yeah.
It's not the worldly view of a man is all the things that you see the opposite of that. But that's what the world wants you to believe a man is.
Right.
And we have a man problem, I think, in the country, really. And that's really where it's been near and dear to our heart. That's why we started as a men's group, right? Mm-hmm. We needed this same. The three of us started, four of us, me, you, Pat. We start, Justin, we started 8-9 years ago.
Yeah.
And we haven't stopped.
Right.
Because it's a lifelong commitment to helping each other and helping other men.
I mean, 9 years ago, my 18-year-old was 9.
Exactly.
You know, it's a whole different chapter, different life experience, and you're still learning and trying to figure it out. And now it's a whole different chapter of them becoming adults. And how do you do this part? You know, so same thing. You still are going to learn throughout life. And man, it's so sweet to be able to have a group of people to be able to do that with. And so find somebody that's doing it. Ask them questions. Just be humble enough to say, I'm still trying to figure this out. What would you recommend? And just constantly learn, constantly water those seeds. And so that's that's my advice to you. And so, man, I hope this was encouraging to you. And guys, thanks for listening. Appreciate it.